Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Happy Masters Week. Welcome to the Garden City. Welcome back to the program. It is good to have you all with us. And, you know, I'm hoping that you all will be joining us as much as you can this week. 1 till 2 p.m. on WTHB 1550 AM, The Voice. But also remember, you can join us by going to speakingwith.com. And you'll be able to hear the program of your choice. Really and truly, I call it convenience listening, because you do get to listen online at your convenience. We'll have the broadcast on there. Probably today's broadcast, that is, probably around 5 p.m. thereabouts. And you'll be able to access it when you are ready. I hope that a lot of you were with us yesterday when I spoke with Dr. David Ludden, and he talked about relationships, forgiveness, and justice. If you missed that for whatever the reason, please go back and get that. Speakingwith.com. The first link that you'll click on is Listen Online at Your Convenience. That's the name of the link. And then go to Monday, April 2nd. Go to April 2nd. You'll see his name, Dr. David Ludden. Please listen to that. All four segments at your convenience. You don't have to do it right now. You don't have to do it 3 hours from now. But please do go back. If it's this weekend, I'm asking you, go back. Listen to Dr. David Ludden speak with me about relationships, forgiveness, and justice. Today, we're going to talk some more about prostitution, and we're going to take a look at Harder Life. We're going to listen a little bit about sports. Wednesday, I want you to join me as we continue to talk about ways of developing emotional resilience. You know what? One thing that I do want to mention as we talk about emotional resilience, while we're on that, I do want you to think about the fact that we have people who are here from out of town enjoying the Masters Golf Tournament. It really is a great event in so many ways. I know it can be kind of tense for the golfers, but for the spectators, for those of us who are just there watching the game, it can be such a relaxing experience. I'm serious. The people at the Augusta National hire crews who do an outstanding job of keeping the grounds beautiful, truly beautiful. Great food at reasonable prices. You can get your pink lemonade and other beverages at reasonable prices. There are bathrooms all over the place, so you don't have to, you know, wonder, oh man, is there going to be a line of 300 people? Because, you know, yeah, there are a lot of people on the grounds during the Masters. Am I going to have to be in line with 200 other people? No. It is a relaxing experience, and I want to encourage you, even if you don't attend the Masters Golf Tournament, think about some kind of event, and it doesn't necessarily have to be something that will take you out of town. It can be. Doesn't have to be. Make it as complex, you know, as expensive as you want, but find some kind of way, as inexpensive as you want, find some way to get involved in an event that allows you to just relax. And if you can do that every year or every other year, some kind of event that you really look forward to, you can really begin to have your body, your mind, your soul beginning to relax, even approaching the week that you're going to be attending that event. Find ways to develop resilience so that we can bounce back. Life is going to continue to get tougher and tougher and tougher, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got to make sure that we are about the business of doing all that we can to bounce back. Later this week, we will also hear from Susan Selden. She's with the Cumbie Center. And this Friday, on Power Friday, she'll be talking with us about human trafficking. Sunday, we're going to talk about the importance of turning away from things that really just make it difficult, if not impossible, for us to have an intimate connection with our Creator. We're also going to hear from Jeff Bumgartner, Dove Award winning composer Jeff Bumgartner. I'm going to take you back to a conversation I had with him a while back. Remember, you can go to speakingwith.com. Speakingwith.com. You can check out this week's guests and topics, but you can also listen online at your convenience. Well, we're going to be sure that we'll have some more good music going for you today, as we often do. In fact, I started to go ahead and tell you who you're going to be hearing from, but I think I'll just wait, let that come back to you, let you hear it when we get there. All right. Now, that said, you know, I've been sharing with you that I want us to gain a greater insight and hopefully greater empathy for people who are caught up against their will in prostitution. I know that there are, as I've mentioned before, a lot of people who are into prostitution as prostitutes, as an act of their will. It's what they want to be doing. It's what they enjoy doing. It's what they enjoy getting paid for. I'm not saying develop empathy for them. I am going to ask that we not hate them. I am going to ask that we not despise them. Maybe spend some time praying that they'll begin to take a different approach to life, develop a different worldview about life and about their own value, and maybe see things a little differently and change their lifestyle. But let's not hate them. But I'm specifically focusing on people who are forced into prostitution. When I talk about the request that I have that we develop greater insight about this quote-unquote industry and develop more empathy for people who are involved in it. Let's take a look. We're going to be taking a look at some more of the pro and con issues of prostitution. But before we go there, let's take a look some more at some of the different types of prostitution. And they say that there are at least 25 types of sex work that were identified according to worksite, principal mode of soliciting clients, or sexual practices. At least 25 types. Now, as I share these types with you, you'll see that we do have that dichotomy. We do have that situation wherein you have some people who are involved in prostitution because it was forced on them, but you have others who are involved in prostitution because it's what they want to do. I briefly mentioned a couple of weeks ago the fact that we have people who live in middle-class homes or upper-class homes, and in some of these cases, their husbands are the sole breadwinners who have good incomes, good jobs, good incomes, and the wife does not need to work in order to help the family live a good quality of life. Some of these wives in some places, though, still like having their own money, but it goes beyond that. They really like the lifestyle of being able to have sex with different people, with people other than their husbands, and getting paid to do it. And so some of these wives, in fact, this is something that was published in the news some years ago, a different state. And you had wives who would see their husbands off to work, see the children off to school, and soon afterwards, the wives would head to the airport, head out of town, spend several hours in a different state, servicing clients, having sex with other people in other states, getting paid for it, and getting back home, getting back on the plane to get back home before the children and their husbands started returning home. Something that they wanted to do. I mentioned to you some of the ladies who talked about the great experience they had with sex and decided, hey, you know what? This feels so good. This is something that I want to do for the rest of my life. And they decided they wanted to do it often. And so, for all practical purposes, they prostitute themselves. set up shop where they want to set up shop and get the word out that they are literally open for business. Okay, but that's not the whole picture. Again, part of the picture is women who are in the field of prostitution, the industry of prostitution, whatever you want to call it, against their will. As I share with you some of these different types of prostitution, decide where each of these types fit. Prostitutes who are there against their will, prostitutes who are there as an act of their will, in accordance with their will, because they want to be there. All right. Street prostitutes who solicit on the street or at the park or other public places. They service their clients in side streets, vehicles, or on short stay premises. Brothels, where the premises are explicitly dedicated to providing sex. It offers better security than a lot of the prostitutes would receive on the streets. And these brothels are often licensed by authorities. Escort services. The client contacts a sex worker by phone or by way of hotel staff. Most form of sex work and relatively expensive. This escort service, relatively expensive because of the low client turnover. The service is often provided at a client's home or at a hotel room. I was watching a documentary movie some time ago, I guess about a year or two ago, and this young lady had decided that she wanted to be a prostitute who worked as an escort, and she would meet her clients often at a hotel, usually an upscale hotel, take care of them, and eventually her parents and her sister found out. Actually, she told her sister first. And as you can imagine, there was some angst there. I mean, the sister had a little bit of a problem with it, but, you know, she tried to be understandably, a little more quickly than the parents. It's kind of like, it's not the same thing, but it's kind of like parents discovering that a child is a homosexual or lesbian. You're finding out that your child is a prostitute. And there are a lot of parents, I'm not going to say all parents, but there are a lot of parents who really disapprove of that. I say a lot of parents, say, let's just be real. This is a program about real talk about the real world. And in the real world, you have some parents who are strongly opposed to their children being prostitutes, whereas other parents don't really give it a whole lot of thought. And some other parents actually prostitute their own children. They let the men know, my daughter will be available. You come by the house at such and such a time. And she might have the house cleared of most of the other children, if not all of them. But that girl who is somewhat attractive, she has that girl remain in the bedroom under orders. Remain in that bedroom and she sends the men up. In the real world, that's how it happens. Some parents are strongly opposed to their children being prostitutes, and if there's any way that they can prevent it, they will. Others just don't give it much thought. And then you have families where some parents actually pimp their own children. Another type of prostitution, private. The client contacts a sex worker by phone. They're similar to the escorts, except the services are provided in the sex worker's premises, on the sex worker's premises. Remember, with the escort service, the service is often provided either at the client's home or in a hotel room. With the private services, it's at the sex worker's premises. A variant in London and other big cities is flat prostitution, high-cost services, in rented, serviced inner city units. And then you have the workers who work from the doorway or window. These are brothels with sex workers on public display. The windows preferred in cold climates. Doorways are preferred in warmer places. And you can imagine that. You don't want, well, hopefully they don't want the women freezing while they're displaying their bodies, letting people know about the services that they will offer. All right, so that gets us started. We're looking at some of the types of prostitution. Now, I said that I wanted us to get to a point where we are also developing not only greater insight, but hopefully greater empathy for people who are caught up in prostitution against their will. So let's ask this question. Does legal prostitution, because that's the big question that we're looking at here, should prostitution be made legal? So here is a subcategory of that question. Does legal prostitution lead to human trafficking and slavery? Does legal prostitution lead to human trafficking and slavery? The pros are saying yes, legal prostitution does lead to human trafficking and slavery. The cons are saying no, legal prostitution doesn't lead to human trafficking and slavery. Now, the last time we were asking the pros and cons of whether prostitution should be made legal or not, I started with the con. So with this, where they were saying no. So with this question, does legal prostitution lead to human trafficking and slavery? Let's start this time with the pros. I'm trying to, you know, give equal time here. All right. So we're going to take a look at that. Does legalized prostitution lead to human trafficking and slavery? We'll start our look at that in just a few.